You're listening to the Better for America podcast, presented by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens.
Hello, everyone. I'm Rebecca Weber. This is your AMAC podcast, Better for America. And today we have the privilege of visiting with a leader in Congress, someone who has long been fighting the good fight, one who represents the 8th District of Minnesota, Congressman Pete Stauber. Now, this congressman wears many hats, including service on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, Small Business Committee, and Natural Resources Committee. And he has been a strong advocate of energy independence and is a ranking member on a subcommittee in Congress focused on energy. Now, what I love about Congressman Stauber's career is that it is one that gives him a very unique perspective, having also been a county commissioner, city councilman, and a police officer for 2 decades. He is, at the heart, a man of courage, not just political courage, but personal courage. He was twice a victim of gun crimes while serving as a police officer. He miraculously survived both. So were it not for people like Congressman Pete Stauber, America would not be the country that we are today, protected by those who put themselves at risk each and every day. From all of us here at AMAC, Congressman, we welcome you and we thank you for being such a strong supporter of law enforcement. We think that no one personifies this fight and the risks that are faced by those who protect us more than you today. Congressman, welcome.
Well, thank you very much for those very kind words. And a couple of things, both my wife and I are AMAC members. And I will share with you that I do appreciate those kind words, but as you serve in Congress, you have to have support behind you. And my family's committed and 100% supportive of my congressional duties here. My wife is an Iraq war veteran, 25 years in the military. So she was the first female command chief at Duluth 148th Fighter Wing. So to the men and women in the military that are listening to this, thank you for your service. And we also thank your families, because we know when a member serves, so does a family. So, Rebecca, I just wanted to get that in there because I have just tremendous admiration for the men and women in the military, in uniform, and law enforcement.
Just wonderful. You are married to a true patriot. Again, she was an Iraq war vet, a first female command chief on the 148th Fighter Wing. We have such enormous gratitude. We want to thank her. Please pass that message on, Congressman. Congressman, you've done so much. And I do want to start with your early days in law enforcement, because you were really on the front lines in the battle to protect this country, to assure public safety, and to enforce rule of law. Now, you were shot in the line of duty. You were almost killed twice, as I understand. And today you take all of this experience to Washington, where you're helping to protect us there. So when you look back in 2020 and you see the demoralization that followed these efforts to defund and demean our law enforcement nationwide, we see this ongoing in many cities. If you could please speak to this, how do we convey the vital importance of our police? And how do we best support those who are protecting us each and every day?
Well, you know, Rebecca, the start of the movement really started in my home state of Minnesota, in the city of Minneapolis. And for those of us in law enforcement to see what happened during those riots and to see the third precinct of the Minneapolis Police Department burning, literally they left and they were ordered to, it's something that we should never see again. You know, men and women in law enforcement have been under this administration and others have been just demonized and villainized, and they want to defund the police and disrespect the police. And I have to tell you that we're seeing the damaging results across our nation. In the bigger cities, nobody's going down into the bigger cities anymore because they don't want to be a victim of violent crime, of a robbery, of an assault, of a murder. And you're seeing the devastation within these communities when you defund the police. And you know, the city of Minneapolis just voted not to defund the police. They understand that when you start taking away police resources, you are going to have crime rise. And so what we need to do is we have to fund the police and give them all the resources necessary and the training necessary and the equipment necessary to succeed on any call they go on. And so for me, I served 23 years on the third largest police department in the great state of Minnesota. And so I was from a patrol officer all the way up to a commander. I have that experience. And one of the things we want to push forward as Republicans is the police matter. And the very first part of a police officer's duty and the use of force continuum, and some in your audience may know that, but the use of force continuum is officer presence. When a police officer is present, there's the likelihood of a crime happening in that area is much less. We can go down, and I've gone down to Minneapolis, no police around, zero. And this is happening not only in Minneapolis, but other cities across our nation. The defund the police movement that had been put on by my Democratic colleagues is unacceptable. We're seeing the results. There's victims across this country because of the defund the police movement. And I am leading the charge. Kevin McCarthy tasked me and the House of Representatives to make sure that any legislation that is put forward supports the police and supports the qualified immunity that goes with their jobs. It's a tough job. Every law enforcement officer deserves our respect for what they do. And I would just say this, Rebecca, to the members, AMAC members on the Zoom, do me a favor, the next time you see a police officer, you look her in her eyes and say, thank you for your service. That matters, because they're being decimated right now by certain members of our community. So just say that to them. Thank you for your service. I've had that said to me. It feels good.
That's wonderful. I agree. We ought to do that more and more, because these are brave men and women that are keeping the rest of America safe. And you've got to wonder, why the heck would Democrats push to defund police? What narrative are they creating? And why does the media back this crazy, crazy narrative? And, you know, you can almost connect the dots and understand that it is true. The left wants to completely tear down democracy as we know it. They want to rebuild America. They want to change our nation at the core. And most members, our members, they really do see this year as a year of hope, because they recognize that the media, these stories that are backed and pushed by the media, are going to backfire, we think, in November of 2022. Congressman, the number of domestic threats that we face is high, but I want to also get you an assessment as somebody who I think can provide feedback on this issue. I want to talk a little bit about the judicial side of rule of law, for starters. How do you feel about the legislative branch? They're really trying, apparently, to undermine the legitimacy of the high court. And what do you think the chances are that an effort may be made by the Democrat-controlled House and Senate to politicize the Supreme Court by packing it with more liberal justices? What are your thoughts there?
You know, Rebecca, before I answer that, I want to go back to the last segment. Remember, our district attorneys are in charge of making sure that lawbreakers are held accountable to the law. When you don't have any bail, when the officer arrests somebody for a strong arm robbery and that person doesn't even go to jail, the officer's report isn't even done, she doesn't have a report done, and they're back out on the street, it creates more victims. So we have to hold our district attorneys and our county attorneys and our city attorneys, we have to hold our feet to the fire to be accountable to the people, to make our community safe. That's my last comment on that segment. So let's go forward.
Really good point. Really good point. I do want to mention, being here in New York, I know exactly what you're talking about. We hear about the district attorney in New York City, and we hear that they're saying, you know, these petty crimes, they call them petty crimes, but these are the crimes that are destroying small business, that are causing people to be really afraid to leave their home. And I'll tell you, I'm on Long Island. I won't go to New York City because of what we're seeing with law, you know, the total disregard for law and order in one of our great cities.
Rudy Giuliani and Bill Bratton in New York City cleaned it up. they understood the broken windows theory. You have to make sure that even the smallest violators are taken care of. Otherwise, they'll just create more and more. They're emboldening them more and more. And you're seeing that in the defund the police movement. When there's the officers aren't around, they're going to be emboldened, more strong-armed robberies, more assaults, more murders, more rapes. It's unacceptable. But getting back to your question, Rebecca, on the court packing, the Democrats, when they don't get their way legislatively or a court, the Supreme Court doesn't rule in their favor, they've been talking about court packing. I mean, getting as many justices as they can to meet their, political views. That is not what our founding fathers wanted in the Supreme Court. They wanted independent justices, 9 justices, to make decisions, final decisions for the American people. And I have colleagues on the other side of the aisle that want to pack the court because they want those judicial decisions to favor them. That's not what this country is about. Excuse me. To politicize our Supreme Court. They're independent members of the judiciary, have to make independent decisions as we as Americans live with the Supreme Court. That's the supreme law of the land. That's exactly what our founders wanted. They did not want politicization of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, you said that right. And, you know, you've got to question the motives of the left, because it, you know, they're flip-flopping a lot. They at one point we heard Chuck Schumer say, no, we need to keep the filibuster in place. Now he's saying, no, we've got to abolish the filibuster. At one point, the left, many of these Democrats that are calling for packing the Supreme Court were folks that said, no, we should never do that. So there's a flip-flopping. It's almost like they've got we want to rule this country, and if we can't rule it, we want to ruin it. We've got a great article up on our website. Really, the left is about rule or ruin, and AMAC is paying attention, and we're getting the news out to America. Go to amac.us. We've got some great stories there. I want to pivot to another issue in which you have real expertise. You've got so much experience, but this is one that worries many Americans for very good reason, and that is inflation and the loss of America's energy independence. This blows my mind away, Congressman. Here we were in such a great place, America, that is, under a Donald Trump presidency. And today we're seeing higher costs at the pump. We're seeing inflation like crazy, from groceries to gas, really, and foreign dependence on OPEC. And our AMAC members really oppose the Democrats' massive federal spending push. This is numbers that we've never seen before, trillions of dollars. So they're supporting all of this spending. They want energy to be dependent on foreign nations. My question really to you is, what is your thought on this massive federal spending or a push in this direction? And how do we move away from this spending and get us back to real energy independence?
Right. You know, Rebecca, you said something that is so true. Under President Trump, for the first time, we were exporting energy to our friends and allies across the world. Within 5 hours of President Joe Biden being sworn in, he stopped the Keystone XL pipeline, which helped energy independence. And he has also allowed Nord Stream 2, the Russian Nord Stream 2 pipeline, to go and feed Europe with natural gas. We look at it as, why can't we continue in America those policies that kept us energy independent and kept us mining dominant? This administration, it just doesn't seem to understand that those of us in northern Minnesota, like this week when it's 30 below, when we turn on our heat, we want to heat our homes and we want it affordable. We're looking at maybe a 54% increase in natural gas. Look at your paying at the pump. Look at your paying for bread. Look at your paying for milk. Look at your paying for groceries, if your shelves are even stocked. And it's unacceptable. We are America. We should be leading the world. And this administration seems to want to lead from behind. And many of their decisions, most people on the Zoom totally disagree with. When we're energy independent, and I just want to share with you the critical minerals portion of that. Critical minerals are part of the fabric of our country. Critical minerals are used in our everyday successes in our computers, in our Department of Defense uses them for missiles and the technology in our F-35 and the rare earth metals, or rather rare earth minerals, and also the oil and gas. This administration has just shut it down. I got to share with you on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, I had an amendment that said the United States will not purchase critical minerals that were mined by forced child slave labor. And folks, that went down on a party line vote. I never thought child slave labor was partisan. Every single Democrat on the committee voted against that bill. And for those of you who know, Northeastern Minnesota, it's the Iron Range. That's where we make 82% of the iron ore is mined. That makes 82% of our steel in this country. Now there's the biggest copper nickel find in the world on the Iron Range in Minnesota. And this administration wants to shut it down. President Trump said, no, we're going to let the process play out. And this administration says, no, we're going to put in a 2-year political partisan study to pave the way to ban mining in northeastern Minnesota. These are critical minerals that we need, that we can use with the best environmental and best labor standards. This administration wants to purchase our critical minerals from foreign adversarial nations. That is not acceptable. That is not acceptable that they choose to purchase from foreign adversaries that use child slave labor. And I'm an advocate for mining dominance, not only oil and gas, but mining for our critical minerals, or iron ore and rare earths. We are blessed in this nation to have these minerals. So let's do it using our people and our workforce is ready, able, and capable of mining these minerals. And I've been pushing as a top Republican on energy and minerals resources. I have pushed and pushed for this. And this administration, every opportunity they stifle domestic mining and domestic development of oil and gas in this country. And it's unacceptable. We're seeing the devastation it is doing to the middle and lower class, because that's who it affects the most and that's who feels it the most.
Wow. Wow. I mean, it really is shocking. Thank you so much. It is the reason why we do the show, Congressman, because the information that you just shared right there, that all of the Democrats on a party line vote wouldn't vote against child slave labor, is mind-boggling, let alone the fact that they don't want us to realize these resources right here in America, where it's easiest, most efficient, good for our economy, good for our workers, good all around. So, you know, again, people, the truth, this is the truth. These are the things that the mainstream media does not want people to hear about. It's the reason why we have people like you on. I want to thank you for that insight, because you are such a real leader in that area. I know you're short on time, so I got a couple more quick questions I want to rush in here. I want you to help us look around the corner, really, to see what 2022 may bring. We saw a wave of errors in foreign policy by the Biden administration, this bungled, chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, and that left tens of thousands of U.S. allied and credentialed people there, right, to face the Taliban alone. And now we see Biden's soft policy on China, which is leading Taiwan to be increasingly under threat. And we see Russia active at the Eastern European border with military troops threatening Ukraine. And we see Iran now being coddled for another sort of pie in the sky deal. And I wonder what our allies are thinking, but why do we keep making these mistakes? These are major errors. Why do we keep sending these signals of what I think looks like indifference or disengagement, appeasement? Do you think that these national security errors are of major concern?
That's a great question, Rebecca. About a month and a half ago, I was with Secretary Condoleezza Rice, and we talked about the disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal. I asked the secretary, I said, Madam Secretary, where does the United States stand now that Biden left our allies? And she said, Pete, our allies don't know where they stand with us, and our adversarial folks don't fear us. She said, that's not a good place to be. And I'm telling you what, that Afghanistan withdrawal, was a disaster from the start. And we have General Milley, General McKinsey, and Secretary Austin that said they never gave him those options. The senators questioned them on there. And so Joe Biden went it alone. The Bagram Air Base should have never been shut down to go to Kabul within the city. And those service members, those 13 service members that didn't make it home this Christmas or their family suffered, I want them to know that this country is grateful for their service and sacrifice. And we will never forget that. It did not need to be this way, but Joe Biden, this is really, Rebecca, this is what 50 years in the swamp will get you. 50 years Joe Biden's been in this town. And these are the decisions, these are the disastrous decisions that you will get. And I think that we can do better. We're gonna hold them accountable. 2022 is gonna be a good year. It's an election year. If history repeats itself, we'll be in the majority in the House of Representatives. But I tell my colleagues, history doesn't have to repeat itself. We have to work hard and earn the trust of the American people every single day. And in the legislation that we put forward and the legislation we fight against. So 2022, excuse me, is going to be a great year. There's really stark differences. Ronald Reagan says no pale pastels anymore. And there are stark differences. We support the police. We want to give them every opportunity to succeed on their cause. We support our military. We want a strong southern border. This is an absolute open border. Both sides of the aisle, Rebecca, are saying we have to secure our border. If you do not have a secure border, you do not have a nation. That's what Ronald Reagan said. We have to secure our borders. And look what's happening right now. The tests are in California and New York, non-citizens voting. Can you see where this is going? For the AMAC members, can you see where this is going? Non-citizens being able to vote, and our southern border is wide open. People are just walking in to our country. And then they don't want voter ID.
Well, that's, yeah, we all just need to connect the dots here and understand that we've got an administration and Fauci that are warning people and over, fear-mongering about this COVID, mandates like you've never seen before, but a wide-open border, people coming across in the hundreds of thousands, COVID positive, and they shrug and they ignore the problem. We've got, to make our elections more secure, they're using the January 6th riots as a reason to completely do a federal takeover of our elections. People are smarter. They understand that you can't have... you can't subject our elections to more fraud. And that's exactly what the Democrats are trying to do here in a last-ditch effort to sort of change the electoral system so that they can remain in power, so that they can fundamentally change America. And we see that this Democratic dominance is so dysfunctional that even the media, as they drive a lot of these terrible narratives, that the people of America understand, that the people of America are waking up and they see that this White House is completely out of step with history, dragging America so far left in just a short year of time. We can hardly recognize the country that we're in. Everything from cancel culture, pushing mega spending the way that we've never seen it before. My last question to you, sir, and you, I think you answered it, was 2022, we see it as a year of hope. And that is because people are waking up. And you agree. And that was my question. Do you see 2022, the House and the Senate, and a red wave?
Look what's happened in the country. The vast majority of people, like almost 75% of the people, disagree with where this administration is taking us as a country. They want to race us to the bottom. And we're not going to allow that to happen. We have to take back the House, take back the Senate, and stop the just terrible decisions for the American people and the national security for this great country. And I think that every single day we have an opportunity to show the hypocrisy of what this administration and what leading Democrats in Washington. Think about this, folks. They want to federalize elections. They want to remove the 10th Amendment, the states' rights on the elections, the time, place, and manner. They want power. They think the power should be derived from Washington. The Republicans believe in states' rights. We believe that the states have the responsibility for setting their own elections. You got to remember, this voting law wants to take out identification for those states that have it, unlimited ballot harvesting. And get this, you may not know this, but I'm running for re-election. What this bill would say is, if I get $200 from a constituent in my district, I get $1,200 from the federal government. So every $200 that I get, I can go to the federal government and get $1,200 on that. Right
of
now,
taxpayer
Nancy
dollars.
Taxpayer dollars. Right now, Nancy Pelosi would get about $26 million, and Chuck Schumer would get about $44 million. The American people have to understand this. This is about power by the Democratic Party. When they can't legislate it through the proper way, look what they're doing to filibuster. Just 2 years ago, 17 Democrat senators said, we need to keep the filibuster for the sake of this great nation. And also, they just, when they want power, they just turn it. And it's inconsistent. It's wrong for America. And we can do better. And I think that as AMAC members, we can hold our public officials accountable for this type of behavior. Call their offices. I know I'm calling my senator's office, senior senator from Minnesota, who's actually trying to lead this voting rights takeover. It's unacceptable. We can do better.
We can. And I'm proud to say that tens of thousands of emails have gone to senators and members of Congress from AMAC members. So we are fully engaged here at AMAC. And thank you so much for pointing this out, for making a very clear connection between the Democrats' reason for this incredible federal takeover of elections to really change, fundamentally change America. And we're going to push back as much as we can. For everyone listening, share this podcast. Make sure people are understanding what the truth is, what's really going on out there. Congressman, I want to thank you so much, because you have just been a tremendous resource for us and a guiding light. And we are blessed and lucky, very fortunate to have you in Congress representing the great folks of Minnesota. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's a privilege to serve this great nation and the constituents of Minnesota's 8th Congressional District. And to the AMAC members, stay strong and be not afraid.
Be not afraid, because we will not let the Democrats rule or ruin. That's what I'm calling what they're trying to do, rule or ruin. AMAC is fighting back. To all of you listening today, thank you for tuning in. And if you haven't downloaded the AMAC News app, go ahead, right on your smartphone, download the AMAC News app. We've got news stories that you won't find in mainstream media. So go ahead and search for AMAC in your app store. Thank you all so much for tuning in, everyone, today. I'm Rebecca Weber. This is your AMAC podcast, Better for America. God bless you all, and have a great day, everyone. We'll see you back next time.
Thank you for listening to the Better for America podcast. To learn more about AMAC and all it has to offer, visit us at www.amac.us.